The good. The bad. The ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
What's this day?
Nutrition.
Chewing.
The.
That.
Podcast.
I know, we've not actually come up with a title, but I'm going to come up with one right now. How to set New Year's resolutions that don't suck. 2024 edition.
Didn't you do a Facebook post about that the other day?
I've done multiple Facebook posts because I see people struggle with New Year's resolutions, and it is the season. It is the season. It is the time of year for New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions. Big bucks. Big business. Joe, what are your New Year's resolutions?
My resolution, Jamesy, is to be consistent, is to stick with our... So we've got some business goals we've set for this year. We've got our first quarter's goals. So my goal is to hit my four quarterly goals because, as you well know, and have managed to not throw a tantrum about, I've not been particularly consistent with anything with Sustain except for filling out the food, responding to food diaries. So that's what I want to do. I want to really knuckle down and work on Sustain this year. So yeah, hitting my quarterly targets every quarter.
What else? Any other than business ones that have you set?
Oh, I do have some. I've got a running one. I want to do 36 hours, the Backyard Ultra in Leeds. Do you know what, mate? I've actually got them written down. Got my folder. See how long this lasts. Hopefully a little period of time. Follow my running plan to hit my quarterly goals. To plan my food and stick to it, plan my high calorie food and stick to it. I've done that this week. And also to track my time, which I've not done. I'm already flirting with getting rid of that one because it's a massive pain. But we'll see. We'll see. I've got a few this quarter. I'm doing 3 out of 4. What about you?
I've got my written down here as well. Sure. So there you go. Obviously, we've got the business ones. I'm not going to bore everyone with those ones. Physical one is to get back to around 30% body fat, according to the InBody, which I appreciate is not super accurate, but it's the way that I track that, and that keeps me accountable and maintain that. This is an important bit, not just hit it once, maintain that for at least 3 months over the next 12 months. Completing 2 physical challenges. I'm going to do a special forces experience boot camp, which basically get to play army for a weekend, get to do loads of push-ups and shoot guns. So the first one's in May, and then I'm going to do another one off the back of that later in the year. I want to have 3 family trips / holidays. So maybe like 1 summer holiday and then like 2. I'm not going to say camping because I hate camping. Glamping, definitely glamping. 6 family experiences, day trips. 1 monthly date with Tanya. I have to emphasize that it's with my wife, Tanya, not just go on.
Hey, Tanya.
Go on dates with people. And then 2 quantifiable ones that said, like, say no to more things, say yes to more things. Because I find myself sometimes slipping into that old friend of mine and just be like, nah, I won't do it. One I could use as an experience, when you messaged me, Chris's mum and dad were ill and they couldn't make it to Peter Kay in Birmingham, my knee-jerk reaction was like, oh no, it's going to be lots of hassle. And I was like, you know what? Just say yes. Just do it. Because we had to get a babysitter, we had to start the hotel, we had to do the travel and all that stuff. And we had a great time. So it's like, right, learn from that. Say yes to more things. Those are my 2024 goals.
What are the things you need to say no to?
You.
Shut up.
I just think sometimes you spread yourself a bit thin, don't you? And I feel a bit like obliged to help stuff and that. And then it's not about being selfish, it's about taking a bit of self-care. I think sometimes just like, no, I can't do that. And being okay with it and not feeling guilty about it. Which will probably resonate quite a lot with a lot of our clients or listeners who will be obligers. Say no to you more when you go like, can you do this? I go, no.
I'm laughing because I assumed you were going to say, because obviously the world revolves around me, this will resonate with you because you do that all the time and say no and just do what you want, which would be a pretty fair assessment. Because as you were talking, I was smiling because you were like, you know, I just always say yes. And I always like feel obliged to do these things and I don't like it. And I'm like, well, that's why I do the opposite of that. I'm very clear with most of my boundaries and the things. And do you know what? It works really well. I would definitely recommend it to people. And you know, as you say, a lot of our clients struggle with that. I don't think I really knew that you struggle with that so much, but I definitely see that. And I'm grateful when I focus on it for my ability to do that, you know, the fact that it's something that comes quite naturally to me, be like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm afraid, and not feeling guilty about that. So yeah, good luck with it. We should do a check-in at 6 months.
Definitely, yeah. Well, we yes, definitely. But we're going to talk more about how we're going to make these stick, or I know I'm going to make these stick when we get through to kind of like how to not set resolutions that suck. Because if, ironically, if all our resolutions sucked, then this would be a terrible podcast.
Well, we'll find out when we find out in 6 months' time, like when this podcast doesn't get done, and we're like, yeah, we had to cancel that one. Oh, yeah, I said that I was just gonna do more steps, and I've done that, so all good. Yeah, well done, well
I
done,
did
me.
it once. So let's jump straight in. I've got some stats, Joe. Some shocking stats. Okay, he was reading them. I've done some maths as well. You'll appreciate this. So
This could be
38, shut
sketchy.
up. No, I Googled them. 38% of people in the UK make New Year's resolutions. That is 27 million people, roughly. I mean, I got the population of the UK. I don't know whether that includes kids as well. Let's just go with 27 million. But only, Joe. Only 9%. That's 240,000 people of that 27 million actually stick to them for the year.
And 100% of those people are lying.
No,
I stuck to that.
we're going to be some of that 9%. And this was, I was going to say this is shocking, but it's not shocking. 80% of New Year's resolutions are forgotten by February. And if we look at the trend of us working in gyms, you would see that massive spike in January. Which I will say, hand on heart, I love to see. I'm not one of those trainers who's like, oh, here comes a January rush. Good. I hope some of them stick to it. I'm all for it. It was my first day in the gym once, and I would hate for anyone to, or for me to think, there's some people in here hoping that I don't come back. That's a horrible thought. You're probably the same people who beep at learner drivers. Shut up. Right. So, anyway, back on track. So you'd see this massive
I'm applauding for that. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
The massive spike in January, but by the third week of January, sadly, it almost go back to normal. You know, you'd have this huge surge of people about kind of like 3 weeks in. So it doesn't surprise me that by 80% of those people, by January, it's all over. You know, I applaud the idea of this is my year, this is where I'm going to change. But sadly, it's all too common to quit. And obviously, this podcast, if only they listen to this podcast. Let's try and get 10% over the line by the end of this year. Let's just aim for that, Joe. We're going to aim for 1% more. I won't get 10%, you know, 260,000 or whatever, £277. Because that's probably about our average listeners, 270,000.
You'll take care. It must be
Yes. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a review, share
it.
this podcast. Let's get up to maybe we could help 24 people. But yeah, have you got anything to add to that, Joe?
No, not really. I think just what you said there with the comment around the gym. I remember asking you once and saying, when do you think it is? And we both said, like, it's 3 weeks. And I think that, well, we'll probably get stuck into more things around that kind of shortly. So yeah, I'll let you move on.
So I Googled what are the kind of most common resolutions that are set, and here they are in order of commonality. Definitely not a word. So improved fitness is the top one. Next one, we're going to go, I'm just going to use relevant ones. Improved mental health, lose weight, improved diet, stop smoking, make more time for hobbies, meditate regularly, drink less alcohol. Now this, again, I'm not going to say the word shocks because they don't shock me. Improve fitness is 48%, improve mental health 36%, lose weight 34%. Now, depending on how you set your goals, and they might be really common goals, and there might be people nodding, go, yep, that's what I want to do. I want to improve my fitness, I want to improve my health, I want to lose weight. But if you look at like improve mental health is a big one, 36%. And we'll get onto this when I say about like how to set kind of New Year's resolutions that don't suck. What does that mean? Like improve your mental health. You know, if that's your goal, and this is something that I pull my clients up a lot on, is they'll set a goal. There's no pathway to achieve it. And I appreciate I'm skipping ahead a little bit. But for me, if you look further down the list, meditate regularly, make time for new hobbies, make time for loved ones. Those are three huge factors that are going to, I would presume, massively impact, positively impact your mental health. Throw sleep in there as well. You could throw nutrition in there. So why are they so far down the list would be my first concern. You know, we've got this goal when really, again, I am jumping ahead because I'll talk about this later. It's like we're missing out on the process. That's the massive thing. You know, let's get improve our health, but then drink less alcohol and, you know, stop smoking are way down the list. Doesn't make any sense to me.
What I'd like to add to that, people can't see here, is that what you said there, that the list that you reeled off is the vast majority of things on this list. So health is the top of people's priority, or not just health, but I guess health and fitness, the way that we look, the way that we feel, how long we're going to live for. You know, the only other ones here that you didn't mention, finances, a new skill, that's it. Everything else there is just is about health and wellness, and it's so prevalent, it's so important to people. And I guess the fact that it makes up the majority of resolutions, I imagine the fact that some of that's the fact that it starts after Christmas, is that people struggle with it so much. It's so important and they struggle so much, they keep coming back to it. And like you started to cover there, there's these broad pieces, get healthier, get fitter, better mental health, and then there's the specifics, and they obviously tie in together, but they're one and the same. And this list is almost, aside from money and skills, is entirely about people's health and the way that they look and feel.
100%. So we want to reduce that 80% people number of people flunking out, those millions of people. So Joe, let's go on with the advice. Let's get on to our top tips in no particular order. Well, they are kind of in order, but there's a lot of crossover on a lot of them. Of how we're setting our resolutions with, you know, kind of like the fun stuff, the relationship, the business stuff. This all ties in. I do get a bit boring sometimes when I talk to people. I'm like, I know you appreciate this sounds really businessy, but like setting specific goals and pathways and check-ins and all those things and reflections. So my first one, and this is a big one, just be realistic. Be realistic about what you can achieve. And again, I will bounce around on all these ideas. That's why I have to make notes on these things. Be realistic about what you can achieve, and that you can learn what's realistic by reflecting on what you set last year. What did you set last year? Well, last year I set to lose 4 stone in a year. What did you lose? Nothing, you know, or 7 pounds, or actually I'm 3 pounds up on there. Okay, let's not set 4 stone as a goal again this year. Why don't we set 1 stone or 2 stone? You know, 2 stone at a stretch. The first thing would definitely be realistic. You know, don't. And I'll jump straight to the next one. Start small as well. So be realistic and start small. So how common is it for people to start January and have this massive rush? Right, I've got this excess weight. Say I've got that 4 stone loss or 2 stone loss as my target. I'm gonna go to the gym 3 days a week. I'm gonna do spin 3 days a week. I'm gonna go on a shake diet. I'm gonna do this. You know, you're first of all being unrealistic about what you can achieve, and you're taking on a huge amount of things. You are literally turning your life upside down, you know, on its head. It's a surefire way, isn't it, just to get overwhelmed and then you miss one spin session or you miss one workout or you eat a carb for God's sake and that's it. You flunked it. You know, you've failed it. So my first ones, yeah, would be realistic and start small. And it does, you know, we were talking about podcasts that we listened to the Mark Manson one. Where he says, you know, this does fly in the face of everything else when people like saying shoot for the moon, you end up in the stars. Like, don't start small. The reason why I'd suggest starting small and being realistic is you tick it off your list. You gain momentum, you gain confidence from achieving things. I know this is massively overused analogy, but if you try and spin 20 plates at once, it's really, really hard and you're going to smash a load of them. If you concentrate on spinning one plate, you're going to get it going. And then when you've got loads of confidence, maybe you can get up to 2 plates and then 3 plates or 4 plates. And all of a sudden, your skill level builds with your confidence. So gain confidence, gain momentum by starting small and being realistic. Joe.
Big goals feel really good. Is if I think about so my content commitment, the thought that I could build our YouTube to the point where it's helping tens of thousands of people. We've got a million subscribers. I can physically feel that. It feels really nice. Same with health and fitness stuff. I can imagine being, so for me, in the England team for the Backyard Ultra, and that feels really good. And so it's tempting to do that because it's a short-term boost. But then what happens when you don't reach it? Or what happens when you start to struggle? Is that's when you flag. And it's going to depend what kind of person you are. I saw an advert the other day for a documentary on Mark Zuckerberg and saying that, he wanted to change the world. He wanted to be that person. And that motivated him, and he kept going day after day after day, plugging away. But most people aren't like that. Most people get frustrated. Most people get overwhelmed. Most people get disappointed. Those things don't occur to the people who achieve these incredible feats. And you may well be able to achieve an incredible feat in other areas of your life. But if you've been yo-yo dieting for more than 10 years, then maybe you need to try something different. And so many people, it's one of the things we hear more than anything else, is overwhelm. And the irony here, you look at the stuff that I've set. As I said, I'm going to do two vlogs a week, is I want to do more. And then I create pressure that means that I don't do anything. And it's like there are areas in my life where I have excellent habits and I'm really consistent with food and my exercise. And there are places where I struggle, like my consistency with content and with work. This is the same with the people that we work with, but often the other way around. They will be super consistent with work, super consistent with their family, really dedicated and have excellent systems with those pieces. They're not so good when it comes to their food and their exercise. So everybody's got these areas of proficiency and everyone's got these areas where they struggle more. It's then about using the tools that work. And if you've struggled with an area consistently, then you have to be realistic and you have to start small. You have to just look at what's that easiest step. How do you get that flywheel turning? How do you get that momentum? And when you set five things that you can't do, you always come back down to zero. Whereas if you just set one, like James said, the plates, do one bit more protein, do or log your food, next one bit more protein, whatever it is, just build on those things.
Which takes us nicely into the next point, Joe. It's almost like you can see the notes here. Is if you do have this huge goal, like I said, you want to lift weights 3 days a week, you want to do spin 3 days a week, you want to do this, do that, and do that. Like, make a list of those things and start off just doing one. I'll say this to clients a lot of time to avoid overwhelm is go, or even just like when I have calls with people, when I'm just helping people, the discovery calls, is like make a list of maybe like 8 to 10 things. Or 6 to 10 things that you think you should be doing or that you want to do, and pick the easiest one. What's going to be the easiest one for you to do? Well, it's going to write down everything that I eat, as you mentioned there, logging my food, write down that. Cool. Just concentrate on that. And I appreciate people have this January rush of motivation. And it's like, and we're guilty of it as well. What is it? Baruch Assault, like, I want it now. That kind of idea. Like, I want it now and I want it all. I want it all. I want it now. But the reality is, if you're listening to this, if you are following our stuff, the odds are that you've not just gained 4 pounds over Christmas that you want to get rid of. The odds are that you've been on and off diets for maybe all of your adult life. That's probably like the most common listener, isn't it, that we've got? Like, they've struggled with weight and dieting and relationship with food and all these things for years and years and years. You have got to question yourself, and you'll catch yourself going, I want it now. What's the rush? Can we dedicate a year to this? Can we make 2024 the year that we do this? Go, right. I'm just going to log my food for 2 weeks, see what happens. And that's it. And then I go, right. Joe and James put up a post today saying, like, well, I did. People who have higher, studies have shown that people who have higher protein breakfasts are more likely to lose more fat than those people who don't. Cool. So I'm going to concentrate on my next task is after I start logging my food, the next 2 weeks, I'm going to try and have protein at my breakfast at least 5 days a week. Maybe I hit 7 days sometimes, but at least 5 days a week. Cool. And I focus on that. And then you just start spinning more plates like that. Like you said, just edging up and edging up and edging up. But start doing one thing at once to avoid that overwhelm, to avoid that fear of failure. Some days things are going to slip. Some weeks are going to go awry, but it doesn't matter. We are what we repeatedly do, not what we occasionally do. And this again is about gaining confidence and gaining momentum and just go, right, 2024, I'm not just going to commit for 3 weeks. Or till mid-February, I'm going to do this for 12 months, come what may. So to put it into your terms with your YouTube goals, you're not saying you want to be the next Logan Paul. That's literally the only YouTuber I can name. Shout out, even though I watch YouTube all the time. But again, you're starting relatively small, so it's like, right, I want to do, what is it, like one video, two videos a week?
Two said.
Yeah, so you're not like going, right, I'm gonna vlog every single day, and I'm gonna do a 10-minute video every single day, which again is gonna be overwhelming. Or you're gonna be like, I'm gonna have 1,000 subscribers by the end of January. It's like, I am gonna focus on doing two videos every single week. And guess what will happen, Joe? You'll get better at doing those videos the more you do those. And then again, this does kind of move into the next bit. Is that you look back and go, right, did that work? Do I need to up it? Did I do two videos? Was that unrealistic? Do I need to make it more priority? How can I make it easier to happen? Again, I'm going all over the place with these points, so I'm going to shut up for a second. But yeah, just start off with the one thing at once. I know that seems boring, and I know that seems very safe. But look at what we said. Be realistic. Start small. Do one thing. One positive thing. Because odds are, if you're one of those people who tries to do everything and then quits by February, then you've got another 10 months where you're not doing anything. Or you might sporadically try and do another couple of weeks, another couple of weeks. Imagine if you got 12 months of just slowly getting better, slowly getting better. Massive progress.
And it's human nature, isn't it, to look to, and this is, I'm going to keep tying it back to this because I, on a health and fitness perspective, often I am probably the least relatable of the two of us when it comes to relating to our clients because of my running. But with sustain and my inconsistency, there is, I, my greatest strength is my Achilles heel, because I have lots of ideas and I get distracted by these. And so often, this is what you see with people as well, is that they will. Right, I'm going to have more protein. What should I do in the gym? How much water should I drink? Sod that. Look at your protein. You're just being distracted. And it's the same with me, of like just having a new idea and wanting to do the shiny thing rather than just doing the boring, consistent work. And you mentioned about the whole idea of like reflect and review. Is that, so say your goal is to have more protein, is to have protein 3 times a day. And at the end of the week, you're nowhere near. Okay, let's go down to two. Stick with that goal. Don't move on from it until it's done. And it's also focusing on the things that you can control. And I think that having small weight goals is great, saying like 3 pounds, 5 pounds, having those things. But if that's not working, or there's also room for process goals. And actually, the example you gave with the YouTube stuff, I can't control how many subscribers I get. I mean, obviously, I'm responsible for it, but I don't have a direct influence on that. What I can control is two videos a week. So I'm picking something, I'm being realistic with my skill set. I don't know how the algorithm works. Don't know how well it's going to go. But I know that I can make two videos a week. So that's what I'm doing. And the fact that I've been so inconsistent with it, I then have to scale that down. Because I did once, I think I'd said three, I might have even said five at first. And you were like, do one. And I was like, well, one's not enough. I can definitely do two. So we kind of met in the middle, but had that open discussion. And me being, as much as it might come across, and it's not my strongest suit, but being willing to listen at times of like, and tempering my own enthusiasm, I think. When with our clients, when they're good, they're great, and they will log their food, they'll eat protein and veg. But most people get to lunchtime and they're struggling because they've tried too hard, because they've had yogurt and fruit and a chicken salad. You've had 400 calories and it's 6 p.m. Like you that needs to be reflected on and reviewed and adjusted and made more realistic, because otherwise it's just not working. And people endlessly go up and down, back and forth. Like they try thinking, if I just grit my teeth, eventually this will be manageable. It's not going to work. And on to our next point, looking at my notes, it has to be fun. It has to be enjoyable. And I'm not suggesting that like you're going to love every second, but you have to find a way that this is enjoyable to some degree. Because otherwise, there's this idea of like, I'm just going to grit my teeth and eventually it'll become a habit. Like if you had a dog poo sandwich every day for lunch, it'd get easier, but it wouldn't get fun. There'd never be a point that you enjoy it. And so you've got to find a part of that that you enjoy. So for me, with running, we were talking about this before, like, or eating veg is probably a better example. I'm never going to love it. I don't enjoy the taste of it, but I do enjoy nourishing my body. I do enjoy being leaner. I do enjoy setting a good example to my clients. So I can then choose to focus on the positives of that. I can be aware of the good side of that. And actually, that outweighs the negatives. And it's if you're not going to make unpleasurable tasks things that you love. It's very unlikely it's going to be that big a swing. But can you make it? Can you look at it in a different way that makes it tolerable that you can do it? And of course, these things do get easier over time. Going to the gym, eating nutritious food, everything gets easier the more you do it. But if you can focus on why it's fun and enjoyable, it's going to, it's essential to doing it longer term.
I just want to jump back to the reflector of the view bit for a second and add my 2 pence, if you don't mind, Joe.
Course.
Because, if we use your example of the kind of the two YouTube videos, in fact, no, I'll use myself as an example because I prefer me to you. No, I'm joking. No, because this is a good example. Last year when I did like my Movember challenge, I held some people accountable in a private group, and the two goals that I set myself. I'm trying to remember properly. I was going to do 800 kilometers of a combination of walking and an air bike. So that's quite like a stretch goal. That's a lot of distance, but a lot of it was on the bike, and then a lot of it was just my daily steps as well. And then I was going to do a set amount of time. I think it was like 2 hours of stretching because I suck at stretching. Now I did the 800K. I came nowhere near on the stretching. So then my reflection is, should I then go like, well, 2 hours was too much, so I should just set an hour for the next one? But 800 kilometers, that was achievable. I could either do that or I could do some more. When I looked back at the stretching, it was 100% possible, but I did not prioritize it. So then from that reflection, I go, right, how do I make it more likely that I do stuff? So I could be like, right, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, when I get up and I put my coffee on, I do 10 minutes of stretching while my coffee's brewing. I'm already making it more likely to happen. I'm hijacking a habit. I'm putting plans in place. Whereas if I just go, next month I want to do 2 hours of stretching, and it's just here or there, it might get to the end of the day, and I'm like, oh, it's time to go, but oh, I'm not stretched. Oh, it's much less likely to happen. So if I'd have said, right, I'm going to do 1,000 kilometers on the bike, and then I got to 800, then you look back and you're like, you know what, 1,000, that wasn't realistic. So next month I'm going to set 800. So that's the difference between the reviews, and it's definitely something that I don't see anyone doing, is you set these new resolutions for the year, but then by February it's like, oh no, I'm out. There's no possible way of doing it. Whereas, if you get to the end of January and go like, right, this is what I set out to do. Was it realistic? Did I achieve it? No. Okay. Well, was it realistic? Yes, it was. Well, then it wasn't a priority. How do I make it a priority? Or, was it realistic? No, it wasn't. I tried to do 22 spin classes in the month of January. That's just silly. So it's just about learning these things and not being afraid to adjust. I appreciate, like, on the 1st of January, like, this is what I'm going to achieve. But then maybe, sustain gets exponentially busy this year, and then stuff happens with your houses and all this stuff, and you're like, I've got to cut back to doing just one YouTube video a week. That's realistic for now, and then maybe later on I can amp it up. So I'd say I appreciate the resolutions. They're not necessarily set in stone, so don't be afraid to adjust them if you need to, but don't just adjust them for the sake of adjusting. Again, is it going to, those would be the two questions. Is it realistic? If it was realistic, I didn't do it. How do I make it a priority moving forward? And then, wait for it, you'll have to speak in a second. Just to speak on the make it fun bit is, yeah, you see people all the time just going like getting really angry or really frustrated at themselves because they've quit doing exercise that they hate and they've quit eating food that they can't stand. Like, well, why? So if we swapped training, well, no, because you quite like my training, but if I was like, right, someone said, right, gun to your head, James, now you have to run an ultra marathon, I won't enjoy that. I don't enjoy running, Ironically, I'm not very good at running. Probably something to do with it. I don't like pull-ups either. Ironically, I'm really terrible at those. So I wouldn't find that fun. So my odds of quitting skyrocket compared to you because you enjoy it. Whereas, I feel like, right, James, you're going to start jiu-jitsu this year. Cool. The odds of me really enjoying that and keep going are massively high because I find that kind of stuff fun. So yeah, don't get mad at yourself for quitting a diet that you hate or for avoiding training that you can't stand. Don't get confused with optimal over consistent. That makes sense.
And to tie that reviewing thing in is it's just about managing this because like you said, there's nothing wrong with quitting a diet that you hate. So for example, if someone's goal is really important and they want to lose weight and they want to be healthier, then that is their 12-month goal. And they say, right, I think the paleo diet is the right diet for me, so I'm going to start that. And then find out they hate it. Okay, so there's this is now a chance to reflect and review, and the right decision there It's going to depend because there has to be a certain level of wisdom here. Because is it that that diet doesn't actually suit you, or is it just because you're not getting your own way and you want to eat more high calorie food? Because there's then this subtle adjustment before, like, well, I need to try a different diet because it's not working. Oh, I'm going to do vegan. Oh, I still want to eat high calorie food. Okay, well, I'm going to do low carb. Like, you have to be astute enough and self-aware enough to look at what the problem actually is, because especially with getting healthier, is people will often fight back against the necessities. There has to be like a level of acceptance here about this is just how it is, and I'm going to try and find a way to make that more enjoyable. It's You're never going to love eating less high calorie food. There's a reason that we got there in the first place. People often talk about, oh, it's just a habit. Well, people don't go to the gym and eat broccoli, out of habit. We do think we habitual actions come because there is a reward, and that's that it's enjoyable. And so there's always going to be this trade-off. And so sometimes you have to look for that. And when people talk about, I just love eating high calorie food, I would recommend that you change your vocabulary here because it gives you pleasure. It doesn't give you, like, love for me is something that doesn't, is unconditional, whereas food is completely conditional. I only love eating Twixes when I'm doing it. If I look in the mirror and I'm just like, oh my God, I've gained 7 pounds because I've been scoffing Twixes. I don't even like Twixes, but just a random one. Then I don't love it. That's such a fluctuational situation. And so it has to be, there has to be some awareness and some reflection and being willing to ask these tough questions sometimes. Like, am I just backing away from this because it's hard? Is there a way of making this easier? And it's this constant refinement process, but like we do as coaches. Well, last week you ate this way and you lost weight. This week you ate this way and gained weight. What's the difference that you see? I see it as this. This is my suggestion. Is that possible? And obviously that's going to change week by week. And it takes a lot of practice for a lot of people because it's especially with food. A lot of the things that you can quit smoking because you don't need to smoke. Whereas with food, we are called sustained nutrition because it has to be a sustainable lifelong process. Food is an integral part of our culture and the enjoyment for practically everybody in existence. So it's going to be a fine balancing act. And again, back to the bits at the start, be realistic, start small. You have to do these things in order for it to last because it's so difficult otherwise.
Just to jump back again. No,
Going
just
back to start, isn't it?
from the bit that you said about, like, you don't necessarily enjoy eating vegetables, but you enjoy the outcome. That's something that I talk to clients a lot, excuse me, who might not enjoy lifting weights. It's like, okay, you don't enjoy the process, but can you love the outcomes? Got a cough. So look beyond just that short-term bit of pain of, like you said, eating broccoli, eating sprouts, eating green beans or whatever, and fall in love with the results that you get from those things. Because, what are you going to be eating vegetables for? 15 minutes of your day tops, if you add it all together, but you're stuck in that body for 24 hours a day. So if that gives you the results that you want and the confidence, the happiness, the health and the energy and everything else that comes with that, and that can be a worthwhile trade-off as well. I know we're saying, like, make it fun, but you get those people like, I want to enjoy every single meal. But it doesn't mean you have to have, pancakes for breakfast and cheeseburgers for lunch and filet mignon, triple cooked chips for dinner. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a bit of a trade-off on that.
And I
So then.
think in places of people's lives, like their kids, like their family, they are willing to have the negative experiences of kids crying or being angry with them in response to being disciplined. People will accept that negative experience in order to achieve the identity they want. People go through hellfire to make their kids happy. And they will put up with, working double shifts to buy extra Christmas presents, all those sorts of things, all these sacrifices. This is the same with everything in life. If there's something that you really want that you haven't got, there's going to be a sacrifice. And that's just the nature of the beast.
So the next two, I think, really just fall into each other. And that's have a plan or a system and focus on the process, not just the outcome. Those two are pretty much exactly the same thing for me. Is, as we said, people go like, right, this year I want to lose weight. Or again, I pull my clients up all the time. Right, next week I want to do more exercise. What does that look like? That's the goal. How are we going to achieve it? If your goal was, I mean, if you just left your goal as, I want to, increase our YouTube channel. Okay, tell me how. How are you going to do that? Right, well, I'm going to do two videos per week for the first quarter, first 3 months of the year, and then we're going to assess, see what's worked, what hasn't, which videos have brought more subscribers, what titles have worked, what kind of content's worked, and then I can remove that moving forward. So you've got a very clear plan of how you're going to increase our YouTube channel this year. Whereas most people just go like, I'm going to become a YouTuber. Cool. How? You know, what does that look like? What's the plan? So if your goal is, I want to, going back to this, I want to improve my fitness. 48% of people, that's make that resolution. Improve my fitness. Okay, cool. How? What does that look like? You're going to train once a week, twice a week, three times a week, five times a week? Are you going to run? Are you going to cycle? Are you going to lift weights? Are you going to go CrossFit? Are you going to Zumba? You know, have a very specific plan, because that all falls into that review and reflect. Am I getting the results that I want? Is this achievable? You know, can I up it? Can I do more? Do I need to do less? So that's definitely the plan. And then the process, not the outcome, are the things that I spoke about before. Again, there's that top one, improve fitness, improve mental health, lose weight, improve my diet. Then right down at the end are the processes. But tell you what, if you want to improve your fitness, if you stop smoking, stop drinking so much, you start exercising regularly, you know, you start, oh God, here we go. Start eating more protein, start eating more vegetables. There we go. It's got to be every single podcast. Guess what's going to happen? Your fitness is going to get better. Your energy is going to get better. Your mental health is going to get better. Your health's going to improve. You're going to lose weight. So by focusing on the process, making those the goals, right? I'm going to exercise 3 days a week. Cool. When? Right. Well, morning's more likely for me. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do 45 minutes of weight. Now I've got a very clear plan of how to get there, and that becomes my goal. When people set weight loss goals, and I'm not anti-weight loss goals at all. For me, that's like a direction that we're headed in. It's not necessarily the destination, it's the direction. You have one opportunity to be happy. So if I go right back to the start when I said, like, right, my goal is to lose 2 stone this year. The only time I can be happy is when I've lost that 2 stone, pretty much. There'll be little bits and bats where I've lost 2 pounds. I'll be, yay, I'm on my way. But pretty much, I've just got that one opportunity to be happy is when I reach that 2 stone goal before the end of the 12 months. Whereas if my opportunity is, or my goals are to exercise, to lift weights 3 days a week, right? Well, I've got, I suppose, three or one opportunity to be happy each week there. If my goal is to drink 2 liters of water, I've got seven opportunities to be happy. If my goal is to hit 10,000 steps or 70,000 steps over the week, then again, I've got multiple chances to be happy. And again, going back to that, being realistic, starting small, gain momentum. This is all positive stuff. And these are all things that I can control. Whereas my weight, I've got much less control over that than I believe. You know, how common is it for us to get our weekly reflections from clients? They'd be like, I said, I turned down loads of high calorie food. I stuck to my plan. I hit my exercise. I slept better. I reduced my alcohol. I did all these things, but really disappointed because the scales only went down by 0.5 pound. I feel like I deserved more. Like, you just listed eight amazing things that you've done this week, and you have disqualified them from one thing that you've got very little control over. Like, you might just need to go to the toilet. You might just have more fiber. You might have had a bad night's sleep, whatever it is. So, yeah, by focusing on the process and making those the resolutions, making those the goals, again, jumping forward, it's going to be coming to a bit of identity change. Like, you're going to become that person who goes to the gym 3 days a week. You're going to be that person who can go out with those friends and not drink alcohol. Or you're going to be that person who goes out for a meal and chooses not to have the dessert. Instead of going, I'm out for a meal, I'm going to start a dessert, main course, half a bottle of wine, shot of limoncello. Is that right thing? Yeah. So making the process your goals instead of just the outcome will be a much, much happier journey. And I think I feel personally that you're more likely to change your identity along the way and become that person who does those things.
And I think what you said there ties into the points at the start is that often, if you want to improve your fitness, then that means losing weight, improving your diet, stopping smoking, drinking less alcohol. So actually, that one resolution is four resolutions. And so if you can do those things, that's great. But then there has to be something here about prioritizing. There has to be something about being realistic and starting small. It's about being specific as well. And so often people lack that level of specificity. I do a lot of We've got all setting stuff with people in the group. We've got a free resource that can help people to do this. And it's always about helping people narrow it down, because you say to people, please give us a specific goal with regards to your health and your fitness. And they go, well, I want to go to the gym more. Okay, you're getting there. And it's a series of like three or four questions where people need to be honed in and focused on one thing. Just like me with the business stuff, is it you, people just need a guide because they can't see that clarity. They don't have that depth of understanding. There's this idea that because it's new, it's the Dunning-Kruger effect. You know, when you don't know very much, you think you know more. Well, I'm just going to go to the gym and that's going to improve my fitness. Maybe. But there's more to it than that, especially when it comes to weight loss. Like you say, there's so many factors that can impact this. And it's having that the skill set to manage that and to have that steady eye to look at it and go, okay, this week was okay. You just need to do more of that. Actually, know that your weight's been the same for 3 weeks, and these are the things that you could adjust. And that's obviously the benefit of having a coach. But if people are willing to take the time to look at what they're doing and to have the data to hand, you can then do it. That's why we always recommend logging your food, but then you can look back over it. But it's, are you willing to do those small steps? Because that's where the success will come.
Next one would be make it easy, make it stupidly easy to happen. To make it, James Clear in Atomic Habits talks about friction. Remove as much friction as possible from the things that you're trying to do. Like, how can you make it as easy as possible for you to achieve these resolutions? Again, still starting small. The harder something is, the less or the more wiggle room we have for just jumping out of it. So how can you make it as easy as possible? And I put down here, like, kind of like even looking at your environment, and I put in brackets pizza, which will puzzle Joe because that's a
I
known
do
food.
wonder.
Well, so Christmas, I put on a couple of kilos. I'm not gonna lie, I don't mind. It happens. But then between Christmas and New Year's, like, right, Boxing Day, that's it. Boom, I'm back on track. I'm back doing what I do. No more mince pies. Not had a mince pie since then. No more Christmas cake. None of that. I'm not going to let that bleed over into the new year. So I'm just going to get back on track. We went to the Panto with the kids and we were all going for pizza afterwards. Like, right, I don't want to eat a ton of pizza. I don't want to eat a lot of chips. So what am I going to do? How am I going to make this easier for myself? Right, well, I'm going to make sure that I take food with me so I can eat that at the Panto. So I had some fruit, I had some nuts, I had a protein bar, I had a drink. I just
Well,
made it easy.
how long was it?
Well, the Panto.
About six snacks there.
Like 2 hours. But instead of then me going to only have access to high calorie food and then going, right, I'm starving. Again, I'm making it much easier for me to eat a ton of food. So this falls into, like, I remember the story that you said ages ago, like when you had Colin the Caterpillar cake and it was on this on your kitchen side and you were busted to eat it because you'd made not eating it harder, as opposed to, like, if you put that in the cupboard, there's more friction between you get it. You put it in another room, there's more friction. The example I normally use when I'm talking to clients about this is, like, if I was sat here now, there was a bowl of peanut M&Ms next to me, I would just mindlessly eat them all. If they were 2 meters away from me, it'd be a little bit harder for me to eat them. If they were out of the room, it'd be even harder. If they were still in the packet, in the cupboard, in the kitchen, it'd be even harder for me to eat them. So how do you make it harder for you to do things that you don't want to do and make it easier for you to do things that you want to do? So even just daft stuff like having your workout gear out ready for the morning if you want to train in the morning, putting your alarm clock away from the bed so you have to get out of the bed to go turn it off as opposed to reaching over, hitting snooze. Like, how can you make this easier to make the decision you want to make and harder for you to do the stuff that you don't want to do? Like, again, snooze is a really good one. You don't want to snooze, put your phone further away, or don't use your phone, use an old school alarm clock. If you spend a lot of time on social media in bed, don't take your phone to bed. It sounds really stupid stuff, but it's like you're making it harder. If you, like, all right, my New Year's resolution, stop mindlessly scrolling on social media before bed, and then you take your phone into the bedroom and it's with arm's length, you're making it much harder to achieve that resolution. Whereas if you leave your phone downstairs, it's going to be much easier, as a simple example.
And interestingly, that ties back, because that's another one that I've set myself. So one of the things that we use in the business is a scorecard, which is what numbers have we got to give us statistical evidence about how the business is doing. And then one of the ones that I've given myself this year is how much time am I spending on my phone? And just by having a number around that, a tangible goal that's being tracked, is pretty much every day I've picked up my phone this week, which is a lot because I'm a bit of a bugger for it. I've put it back down because I've been like, I don't want that number to be higher than I desire. And whilst that's not directly related to environment, I've also got my tracker here with me where that scorecard is. And every day I wake up and I look at it. So I'm priming myself for certain action by being like, I've got goals that I'm working towards. And to be fair, this is why my goal, I've set one goal for this year, which is, and I appreciate that one goal features several goals, but it's like that consistency of this is just what I'm going to do. I'm always, and I know loads of clients who do this. They buy a new notebook, they write some notes over here, they do something over there, then that goes in the bin, they buy another one. Just be consistent with what you do. And that having that environment that leads to success is so useful. And just having these things written down near you that you refer back to. And you know, we're fortunate enough, obviously, that we work as a partnership, and we've got other people who work with us, that we then have a system and a structure around that, having that plan, having that system, something to call back on when you are then accountable for it. It's just invaluable, you know, knowing that I am responsible for collating the numbers between me, Jane, Jamie, and Anita makes me act, even though that's always been my job. But having that system underlying it is so important.
But also having the numbers to target. So again, if it's whatever, you know, say we want to reach X amount of people on Instagram for the reach, like, well, that's a target for us to hit, as opposed to like, I want to reach more people on Instagram, or I want our post to be more popular. It's like you've got this very tangible thing, or you know, like, to if we want to go, right, well, we want to help X amount of people this year, this month, or whatever, you know, you've got those things where you can look back and go, right, this is what I'm aiming for. This is the work that has to come for it. So it makes it, well, it makes it measurable, doesn't it? Like that's a big bit. Just to talk about the social media stuff I've got on my phone, it's called Screen Zen, which is a free app. If anyone struggles with like social media, what I've done is I've set it between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. I say it shuts off my phone. But it doesn't shut off. I can still use my phone, but then if I want to open an app, I have to go into it, open it up, and it'll be like, right, is this important? How long do you want to open this up for? And then if I am on social media, if I open it, I mean, it'll tell me, it'll give me like five times to do it per day in that kind of like off time, and then I'll lose my streak. So I'm on like a 5 day streak. If I go over that five, then it resets it. But it does, because I find myself sometimes going like, yes, I want to go on. How long do you want to go on for? Now, you know, just leave it open, and then after 15 minutes it goes, is this important? And you go, nah. Just switch it off. But it makes me really, really aware of it, and again, it makes it harder for me just to go on a mindlessly scroll, because I have to open it up and go, right, is this important? How long do I want to leave it open for? So it's a worthwhile app. I suppose the last one, wrapping it up, is, do these resolutions, these goals, do they align with your values, and are they motivating? Because if they're not, then again, you're less likely to do these things. And I kind of put in brackets about financial. So to move it away from weight loss, just for a second, I feel sometimes kind of people can relate to it more, is if you say, right, my goal is this year to earn £30,000. Like, well, is that motivating? That wouldn't be motivating for me. Sounds like a great amount of money, but is that motivating? No. But then if I look back at the goals that I've set, which are like three kind of holidays, you know, monthly, day trip, a date with Tanya, all these things, well, they will require money. So then could I tie in that financial goal? It's definitely not to make 30 grand this year. I don't need that. We're not going anywhere crazy. But that would give me reasons. Again, that would align with my values of like, well, I want Magnus to have more experiences. I want to, you know, work on mine and Tanya's relationship, and actually have some free time where we're not just have a child begging for our attention constantly, you know, where you can't have like a proper chat at the dinner table, because about 90% of your time is suggesting things not to do or suggesting things to do for him. So that would align with my values, and I would find that motivating, because those times you're just like, oh God, I can't be asked going to work today, or you know, I can't be bothered making that YouTube video. You're like, but this is all stepping stones to me having those three holidays. This is stepping stones for me taking Mags to whatever, Sundown Adventure. So then it does align with it, and that's more exciting. And again, it's stuff that I can pull on for motivation, you know. But again, when I'm talking to clients about kind of like having these affirmations and stuff, that's what mine are. They're not like, I want to make X amount of money. It's like, I want to provide this kind of life for Tanya, for Magnus. I want us to have a business that we're proud of. I want to help as many people as possible because that makes me feel good. That does align with my values. I think we've got a skill and a knowledge base that helps people and a system that helps people. And I want to share that. And I can't do that not speaking to anyone. I can't do that not having a social media presence. So the podcast, Instagram, the Facebook, the group, the emails, all these things are going to help us help more people. That definitely aligns with my values. And that is something that I find motivating. From that's going to help me provide for my family. That's more than I want to buy a Lamborghini, which just whenever I see people get out of Lamborghinis, I think that's just going to make my knees hurt. I need a tall car that I can step out of. Never get my legs in that. But yeah, anything you've got to say on that, Joe?
No, I think I'll just tie it back to fat loss. And there's a video that you did a little while ago about the elephant and the rider, which was the fact that we have these desires, we have these emotional drivers, which is the elephant, and we have the rational side of our mind, which is the rider, and that is this constant kind of toing and froing. And very often people say, "But my rider wants to go as well," and they're miss and what they're missing there is what you've just described here, is that people's the true person they want to be is someone who is in control and who values their health and their physical activity and those pieces. And so when they make decisions like that, is that it's just lose, it's being completely consumed by the thoughts around food. And yes, you can still enjoy high calorie food and those pieces, but it's having that awareness. It really is awareness, because these thoughts around food are so consuming sometimes that we don't see the other side of it. And of course, there's subtle nuances here. You can lose weight and look exactly how you want, and you can still eat chocolate cake and those pieces, but you just have to make sure that you're getting that balance right so you are getting your results. I think so often people get lost in the noise around food, all these thoughts about the different things that you could eat and how great it is, rather than recognizing who they want to be. And very often when people talk about focus, this is what they mean, is they want to keep that at the front of their mind. And actually just constantly coming back to this, constantly checking your thoughts. Like, is this really tying into the person I want to be? Does just mindlessly eating and drinking and numbing out from whatever's going on, is that really who you want to be? You know, I did a blog about it the other day. I drank more alcohol than I normally would over Christmas. I probably had 4 nights where I had 3 drinks or more. So not, it's probably less than I'd actually drink totally on one night sometimes. But the issue with that was that I remember my mum said to me, "Oh, it's Christmas, you need to let your hair down." I'm absolutely fine with that. I'm not okay with me using food to get away from uncomfortable thoughts and emotions. And it's very easy to dismiss these things. That's because it was Christmas, and it was because it was there, and it is nice, and all those different pieces. But my identity, the person I want to be, what I value, is someone who is in control of their emotions and their thoughts and behaviors as best I can. And that is going to be, you know, that's a lifelong journey. And those actions do not align with that. And back to the point you made about reviewing, reflecting, you have to put yourself in the crosshairs. You know, you have to criticize your own actions, which some people find very difficult. And so, and that's what, you know, when people are saying, "Oh no, the rider wanted to eat high calorie food as well as the elephants," like, that's not how this works. There are conflicting sides of this, and they're different goals. Enjoying high calorie food at Christmas with my family, using food and drink to manage emotions. It looks exactly the same on a physical level. That looks the same. It's the same calories. It's the same speed of drinking. But on a mindful psychological level, it's totally different. And that's what I'm always looking for with people, is how do we keep in the ones that matter? How do we take out the ones that don't? Yeah, I've kind of thrown a few random bits together, but I think just being crystal clear about the person that you want to be is a really useful exercise, and understanding who that person is.
I expect your values to change as well over time. I'd say mine have massively. You know, there'll be periods in my life when I was not younger, for instance, single, because Britannia have been together for a lifetime. Not in a bad way. But there'll be times where, like, my priority would be to get as big and as strong as possible. And then there'll be priorities where times where my priorities, my values were like to get as lean as possible, to look as good as I possibly could. Whereas, like, my values now are like, right, how do I stay fit, strong enough, injury free? Like, they're my priorities. So it's not, I don't look as good as I have done previously. I'm not as big as I was previously. I'm probably like 2 stone lighter than I was. You know, I'm not as strong as I used to be. But I'm all right with that because my values have changed. And you know, if someone was like, I still get those twinges sometimes where I'm like, I need to put like a stone of muscle back on. It's like, what? And you know why I don't do that? Because it doesn't really matter to me. I don't value it enough. Again, whereas like being injury free, being strong enough to, and having enough energy to mess around with Magnus, that's more aligned with my values now. Go on, mate, you're going to say something.
I was going to say, and quite a lot of that, you know, is it's quite empty, isn't it? The way that you look. And actually, I understand that if you put on a lot of weight and you weren't happy with it, then it would become a more important value. These things fluctuate depending with how far or how close you are to it. But actually, that's a much more, I guess, emotionally mature way of looking at things. And I would say that
Are
I'm
you
kind
calling
of
me old?
a similar, well, older than me, aren't you? Older than me. But that's kind of similar for me, is I recognize that that stuff was a nice idea rather than who I wanted to be. I'm more than my body fat percentage and how big my arms are, thankfully.
Yeah, maybe
But
we
that is,
just had to cope with that.
and they're like not phases because not everyone goes to it. But that was a pattern of being a young man working in a gym with the environment that I had. It didn't mean that was my true value and identity. It took me a while to recognize that, and it will. That's how it works with a lot of people. People say, I absolutely love eating. I love eating and drinking and smoking. And then, you know, I've spoken to a few people recently who've quit smoking who believed their life would not be as good after smoking. And they were like, and I couldn't have been more wrong. You know, we just don't see these things until we're on the other side of it sometimes.
It's that we're wrapping up. Don't worry if you're listening.
Been a long one.
The intrinsic versus extrinsic motivators. Whereas that extrinsic one would be like, all right, I want to lose loads of weight, so I look shit hot when my ex sees me. Very extrinsic, like I'm just doing this for some external gratification. Whereas if that person was like, I need to lose weight because I want to be fit and healthy and give myself the biggest opportunity to be able to play with my grandkids as possible, right? That's very intrinsic. You know, that's motivating for me. Because when you see your ex and they don't care, then what? What, you're going to stack all the weight back on and go back to the way you are? Like, it's just not motivating. Again, does it align with your values? You know, would me putting 2 inches on my arms make a difference to my life? Absolutely not.
Minutes, seconds a day, wouldn't it? That looks nice.
Yeah,
Back with the things that really
no one
matter.
would care, you
Yeah.
know. So if you look like a hot piece of shit at the moment, that's why, because I don't value anymore. That's my excuse.
Food
And I
for
think,
thought, isn't it? These things. It takes time to see. It takes you've got to hold these thoughts gently, because you know, I was certain that was true for so long
yeah,
until it wasn't anymore, and that was that.
and I think that wraps it up. No idea how long we've been recording. Probably a good 45 minutes.
I think it's been a shosty
So I hope that helps everyone. Don't forget, you know, you can like, you can subscribe, you can leave a review, you can do nothing. I don't know. In fact, I don't. But that's it. That wraps it up. Thank you very much for listening. We'll make it a resolution to do one a week.
Oh.
Cheers.